Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, wondering if I need to hunker down. Something swirling out in the Gulf of America.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Well, it's the giant toilet. It's finally flushed. It's getting ready to wash us all away.
Yeah. Well, may not be bad. May not be bad. I should at least get some water and junk food.
There you go. As long as it's not salad from fucking Taco Bell, I think you'll be okay.
It wasn't Taco Bell. It was Taylor Farms.
Yeah, but they supplied Taco Bell.
And Taco Bell is the one who researched it and found out it was Taylor Farms.
Yeah, I think.
Because Taco Bell is run by a Democrat and Taylor Farms is another fucking mega asshole.
Well, and the farms that have the tainted food is in the middle of Mexico somewhere. So,
right.
You know, I'm sure there'll be some call to stop importing lettuce from Mexico, which will just drive up lettuce prices, and you won't be able to fucking eat salad anyway.
Right. Well, I don't know. I'm a little scared to eat salad anyway right now.
Well, so like I had a thing with my health recently where I've had to change what I eat like completely. And up until the outbreak, I was eating like grilled chicken and salad and like fruit right. for breakfast. And then everybody was like, you can't eat fruit and you can't eat salad. And I was like, motherfucker. I was like, why is it right. when I finally turn the corner on like, I'm finally going to eat clean. I'm finally going to do it right. I'm going to cut all this shit out. All of a sudden the universe is like, yeah, no, you're not. So this past, like today when I went grocery shopping, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm buying fresh fruit because they're pretty sure it's the lettuce. So I'm going to stick with that. I won't eat salad, but I will fucking eat the hell out of some fucking strawberries. So here we go. And if I get it, I get it. It'll just mean some weight loss.
Right.
Just got to make sure to stay hydrated. That's all.
That's it. Because you'd be shitting your brains out.
It's just like prepping for a colonoscopy. So, like, what's the difference?
Yeah, I guess.
So we had a huge loss this week.
Democracy officially died?
No. Entertainment-wise.
Yes.
Like I've given up on democracy. Like, that's going to happen whether I care or not. But entertainment-wise, we lost a true legend. I'm sure that everybody who likes movies has seen this dude in at least a couple of things. But the great Sam Neill passed away this week of pneumonia at not a advanced age. I think he was in like his mid 70s.
Right. 78, actually.
78.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, he shot to stardom in 1993 with Jurassic Park, where he played Dr. Alan Grant. And I believe that is what he is most famous for. He also starred alongside Sean Connery in The Hunt for Red October. He was in a science fiction horror film called Event Horizon. He's done an absolute ton of stuff. He played the actor Odin in the MCU, in Ragnarok and Love and Thunder. So what was that other one that he did? Was it In the Mouth of Madness? Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was after Jurassic Park. So he was like super, super famous at that point. But yeah, that was kind of hard. He's been an actor that I've watched. Like, when it's a Sam Neill movie, you know that there is some quality in it. With the exception of the last Jurassic World movie. I mean, not even he could save that. They did their best. They brought up back all the originals, but they could not save right. that movie. So,
Well, no, because they put Chris Pratt in there.
Yeah. Where he makes a promise to a fucking velociraptor.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking retarded, but yeah, a large outpouring of sentiment from the Hollywood community about what a stand-up guy he actually was, which is nice to hear that he wasn't just, you know, some asshole that like got lucky.
Right.
I was not aware. I thought he was English. I was not aware he was from New Zealand.
No, I didn't realize that either.
Yeah. I thought he was a English actor from, you know, from Britain doing an American accent, but no, he's New Zealand doing an American accent.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
And his name is not Sam.
What is it?
His name is Sir Nigel John Dermot Neal.
Oh.
And his family owns a big hospitality company in New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
Where they're cloning dinosaurs, I think.
Well, I know he had a farm. Like, he lived on a farm because mm-hmm. he was self-aware enough that I don't know if it was his kids, his grandkids, whatever, but like there's videos of him driving around his farm with an inflatable T-Rex in like the open air car with him.
Yes. And they're playing, I think that's hilarious.
The Jurassic Park theme and shit like that. And I mean, he just, mm-hmm. didn't they just do a bunch of commercials for the Super Bowl?
Yes. With Laura Linney.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, he was very self-aware of what made him famous, and it's a damn shame because he beat cancer. He had cancer and it was in remission, and then he got pneumonia and passed away, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yes. Apparently he named his farm animals after people he's worked with in the movies.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, he had projects up until 2025.
He was just in that.
So, totally unexpected.
Yeah, he was just in that show on Netflix with Eric Bana where they were like park rangers trying to solve a murder. And like Sam Neill was his like mentor. And it was really good. Like, it was a really good show. And that was probably the last like movie or like long form role that I saw him in, besides the commercials. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that he had any plans on stopping acting. You know, it's just one of those things where he got sick and just couldn't get through it, which is a damn shame.
Apparently up until he was 10, people made fun of his first name. They used to call him Nigel Nutt.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Wow. So to lighten the mood a little bit, I don't know if you saw the story this week that William Shatner is putting out a heavy metal album.
Yes.
And he is going to Riot Fest to play live.
Yep.
And I don't know if you saw his list of rider demands.
Yes.
So, okay. So then we'll just go through this because I think it's fucking hilarious. This has got to be a joke, right? Like,
right.
Like, he's just making this shit up to see how much traction he gets. But so it includes Chicago naming a boat in Shatner's honor, a billboard featuring Shatner and one lucky fan, food named after Shatner, an opportunity to do the weather report with longtime Chicago-based meteorologist Tom Skilling, Shatner singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at a Chicago baseball game, fire breathers, an intro video created by the metal band Guar. The artist golf cart is going to be replaced by a DeLorean. The dressing room is going to be renamed as Shatner's Shag Shack. 4 feet of Polish sausage, One Montreal Canadiens hockey sweater signed by John Stamos. 8 pallets of Faygo not to be shared with Insane Clown Posse. 1 pair of white tube socks, 1 pair of underwear, an assortment of adoptable puppies sourced from a reputable local animal rescue nonprofit, 1 bowl of sauerkraut in the dressing room ready to eat, and a bouquet of flowers in a vase.
Yes.
I mean, that's crazy. That's, I don't know if somebody was just like, ask for a bunch of weird shit and see what they say. But apparently he went on Chicago television and said that he told the organizers they have a few months to get their act together. So, I mean, at 95, does he like even care? Like, is he just being like, fuck it, I don't care?
No, he's just having a good time. At 95, good for him. Yeah. Jesus. I'll be drooling in the corner if I make it that far.
Yeah, I doubt I'll make it to 95, but Jesus. That is crazy.
Yeah, hilarious. Hilarious. So he's playing with, he's performing amongst Iggy Pop, the Pixies, 21 Pilots, Tool, Morrissey, Nass, Alanis Morissette, and Elvis Costello.
Yep.
Insane Clown Posse. That was crazy.
Well, the album is going to feature covers of songs from Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest. Okay, stop bouncing around. And it's got, I guess it's got some of the band members playing on the album.
Well, that's cool.
So, yeah. I mean, it reminds me of, what was his name? Played Count Dooku.
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee. I mean, he was doing metal albums in his 90s. So I wonder if like, entertainers get to that point where they're just like, well, what else can I do? What market haven't I tapped into? And everybody's like, metal music. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I would go pay to see Shatner perform heavy metal. That might be fun.
For $500 though?
Is it $500?
Yeah.
Fuck. Maybe there'll be clips online.
I'm sure there will. I mean, if Disney Plus has not jumped on this and got the TV rights for that session, they are totally out of touch.
That would be amazing. Nice. So what did you watch this week?
So I watched a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
So we had a new season of The Bear, which I've talked about before.
Yeah.
It's the guy who's the voice of Rhoda the Hutt.
Yeah.
Has a real asshole of a chef. This final season takes place in one night.
Oh.
And it's really interesting how they do it. It's like there's a countdown clock running. There's a huge storm hitting the city. So they're wondering if people are going to show up. And if they don't show up on time, what's that going to do to their flow? And it's really, really well done.
Huh. Okay.
There's always all this drama. Jamie Lee Curtis is his mother, and she's kind of bipolar, drunk, whatever. Abby Elliott is his sister. John Bernthal, one of his friends. Oliver Platt is one of his uncles.
Okay.
I mean, it's basically the whole premise is that his family owns one of those Chicago Beef walk-up windows, and he wants to turn it into a Michelin star restaurant over the course of several seasons.
Okay.
He goes over to Copenhagen and studies, and he ends up meeting Will Poulter, who shows up in this last season helping him out. Olivia Colman was in it at one season.
Wow.
But there's like the whole underscore of like this huge storm raging outside and shit, like, you know, the ceiling breaks through and there's water all over the kitchen and the power goes out and they can't wash their dishes. And how are they going to do this? And then they run out of food. So how are they going to make it through the last 2 hours of service? And every episode just builds and builds and builds on that tension.
Huh. Okay.
It's really well done. I think you would like this last season, even if you've not watched any of it before.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have the big Jamie Lee Curtis driving her car through the wall, but just the way they approach this season, knowing that it's got to wrap up. This is kind of where we go from here. So, you know, the lead actor is itching to do more stuff.
So it's, what season is this? Fourth?
Fourth.
How many episodes per season? Is it like 10?
This one was just 8.
8? Okay. I mean, do you think it's worth starting from the beginning?
It's really an interesting way to tell a story. There's some episodes where like the first 40 minutes of it is like absolutely no dialogue.
Okay.
I mean, I would. Let's see. First season was 8 episodes. Second was 10. Third was 10. Fourth was 10. Oh, this was 5. This is it.
Okay.
Yeah, and this had 8.
Okay. Oh, it's all on Disney+.
I think you would. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Real easy watch. I think they're like half hour-ish until the last final episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's really fast. Like, but when the credits roll, you're like, what? That's over?
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking for a new show, so.
I would check it out. I mean, it's a real easy watch. It's 8 to 10 episodes.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the guy's name? Jeremy.
Jeremy Allen White.
That's it. 3 names.
Yeah, and the other guy, Eben Moss Backrack, or whatever his name is, he's the thing in the Fantastic Four.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm adding it to my watch
list. Yeah, it's a really good series.
Okay.
I would recommend it. We also had a new episode of Silo.
Yes, we did.
Kind of interesting.
I still feel like it's too slow of a burn for as many episodes that they have.
Yes.
Like it needs to answer some questions.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that that the intelligence, whatever, the algorithm is willing to kill people to keep the information quiet. Like, they don't care.
Right.
Like, they're just going to gas the poor miners. Like, imagine being born into the Silo community where they're like, yeah, you've got this shit assignment of being a miner, and then you're just so fucking expendable that, like, they're just going to run in with poison and try to kill everybody. It's like, holy
right,
shit.
Right.
It's a very interesting world, the way that they've designed it, to where, like, there's a hierarchy of people, and, you know, like, we've seen it in the past where, like, where Juliet used to work in the generator room, like, the mechanical people aren't viewed as highly as some of the other people, but, like, the dynamic starting to shift as, you know, the people are seeing that they're being lied to and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And I mean, it's a very different, I mean, right now we've got what, 3 series that are kind of the same premise.
Yeah.
Silo, Pluribus, and Paradise. I was like, Silo is definitely the most depressing of the three. You know, what the Silo they've built is very industrial and very dark and very not friendly, and that kind of carries over into like their personal lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can only imagine what the you know, the ultimate final episode is going to be.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, we've been outside with Julia and we know that the world is fucked to a point where they can't live outside. So The only option is going to be to take the Silo over and have some kind of more balanced system of livelihood for people that are stuck in this situation. But it's awful heavy to try to do that in like a season and a half.
Right.
You know, like if they had, I get that now that they're trying to cut back and forth between the world before the Silo and what's going on currently in the Silo. And there's a mystery surrounding like the congressman's sister, and she was a pilot and she flies into this cloud and like her plane gets eaten, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
So like there's all this shit that's going on. And while I want to see how the Silo came to be and the things that were put in place, like it feels like that's taking too much time away from the actual story of what's going on with Juliet and the things that are going on in the Silo, because for 2 years we haven't had to have a back and forth story. And now it feels like they're trying to pull it in a different direction. And I don't know.
I'm kind of afraid it's going to become Lost.
They were dead the whole time.
They get to a point where they don't know what the hell they're doing, so let's make a change.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and now we don't know what Juliet's fate is, because she, you know, she went into the mines to try to help the miners.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, unconscious. Not sure what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, would they kill her off this quickly to replace her and do a time jump to, you know, 20 years down the road and see what's going on?
I mean, I think that would be an interesting idea of like a time jump, or like, I don't know how you would do it and keep everything straight, but some kind of, they keep referencing like the reset, the last time that the Silo was reset. And It would be more interesting to me to see what was going on then that needed to be reset, and whether or not it's people figuring out the same shit and like human nature is just like it gets to a point where they find questions that they need answered that the Silo can't give them. So there has to be like a rebellion, and then things get reset. Like, that's something I'd be interested in to see, as opposed to how the Silos came to be.
Right.
I still think it's a good show. I still think that like it's head and shoulders above a lot of like what's on television right now, but.
Right. Which is like almost nothing.
Well, yeah. But it would be cool to see how the people the last time came to a rebellion.
Right.
You know, what is it, the same thing? Is it wanting to leave the Silo? Is it wanting to, like, you know, did the algorithm last time dox them all with D+ or whatever it's called? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like that's the fascinating part to me. Not so much the people driving around trying to figure out what happened to dude's sister.
Yeah. I mean, unless there's some huge payoff for that.
Yeah. But there does.
Like, I mean, I would kind of like to see if it's just a never ending loop that you know, every season's a time jump, and you see that although it's changed, it hasn't changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Very Battlestar Galactica. It's happened before, it will happen again.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. So who knows what vitamin D is going to do, and
yeah,
you know, obviously it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean,
but now we're going to see.
They're basically saying it like wipes out people's memories.
Right, and now that Juliet's not taking it,
yeah,
what's that going to do to her?
Yeah,
you know, is she going to get those memories back, or is she like really screwed?
She just doesn't start remembering anymore.
Mm-hmm. What have you been watching this week?
So I watched an interesting movie on Netflix called The Bad Batch. And it's about a dystopic future where citizens of the United States who the government considers not to be within the guidelines of what they set out are cast out into, I think it's like a desert near Texas.
Okay.
And it's got Jason Momoa in it. He plays the head of a group of cannibals. There is a town called Comfort that is headed up by Keanu Reeves, and he's like a
okay.
He's like a drug pushing messiah type figure.
Okay.
And it's got Jim Carrey in it. He's got no lines. He's this hermit who shows up every once in a while in the plot to move the plot along, but he doesn't say anything. It's a really weird film. There's no dialogue for the first like 20 minutes. Other than like you hear people talking over like a loudspeaker in the very beginning. And before you're cast out into the desert, you're tattooed on your neck with your Bad Batch number.
Okay.
So that I guess if they catch you back in the United States, they can see that you've been, you know, deported once.
Okay.
But it's a really weird movie. I don't know if I'd necessarily recommend it other than if you wanted to spend 2 hours being like, okay, what the fuck is going on? Jason Momoa, his character is supposed to be from Cuba. And so he's got a really bad Cuban accent.
Okay.
And he doesn't say a whole lot either, but when he does talk, you're like, what the fuck is he saying? Because he's trying to do a Cuban accent. He's trying to be, Scarface. He is trying to do, I can't remember the dude in Scarface's name.
Pacino?
Not Pacino, but his character name.
Tony Montoya?
Something like that?
Montana.
He's trying to be him, and he doesn't do a really great job. But I was watching, I was on YouTube, and I was going through the shorts and stuff. And there was a scene where Jim Carrey shows up, and this movie is from like 2016. Jim Carrey shows up and he's staring down Jason Momoa, and like all of the stuff, like all of the comments were like, this should have gotten Jim Carrey an Oscar. Like he did so much with no words. And I was like, oh, I got to see a movie where Jim Carrey is in it, where he doesn't say anything. But it's very bizarre. It's there's a lot of like 80s music in it where,
okay,
like Jason Momoa puts on his headset at one point and he's listening to Culture Club and he's walking through the cannibal camp. And this woman whose arm has been cut off and eaten is screaming at him. And he like just goes over and he like snaps her neck. And then he takes the headset off and like turns around and walks away. And like, that's the scene. And I was like, what am I watching? Like, it's really bizarre. It's super bizarre, but I don't know if there's ever a time where you're like, I don't know what to watch. Watch the first 20 minutes and see if it's something that'll like capture you. I don't know. I don't know if you'd like it or not.
Are all of there's one picture on IMDb of like all these bodybuilders working out. Are all the cannibals like bodybuilders?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Jim Carrey does not look like himself.
No. And I think if I didn't know it was him because of the clip, I would have watched the movie and been like, why does that dude look so familiar to me? And I would have had to go on the cast list and been like, holy shit, that's Jim Carrey.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, and I don't know what he was filming at the time, but like, Keanu Reeves has like this porno mustache and like this weird haircut. The only one that really looks like himself is fucking Jason Momoa.
Right.
But yeah, it's funky. And I'm really surprised that I watched it all the way to the end. Like that I didn't at one point be like, all right, I've seen enough. I can turn this off now. But I don't know. It's very weird. I also went to the movies this week.
What?
Yes.
What did you see this week?
I watched The Odyssey.
Oh.
It's very good.
Okay.
It's very long.
Yeah.
You know, it's The Odyssey. The Odyssey is a huge fucking book. I've always been fascinated by Greek mythology. So, my kid was like, do you have any interest in going to see The Odyssey? And I was like, yeah, do you? And she said, yeah, cause she's got a big crush on John Bernthal. And, being that he's in it, she was like, I'd really like to go see that. And I was like, it's like a 3-hour movie. She's like, oh yeah, I know. I said, all right. So her and I went, and like, one of the problems I have are that the movie theater closest to us seems to dim their projectors because the last couple of things we've seen in there have seemed awful dark. And this movie is no exception. Because there are a bunch of scenes where they are interior lit by nothing but torches. And I'm like squinting going, who is that supposed to be? But it's a really well done telling of the Odyssey. I know there's a lot of, talk about actors in it that don't necessarily fit the ethnicity of what they believe the character should be. Helen of Troy is black in this movie. And they're all flipping out about that. There are,
how dare they?
I know there are Greek soldiers that are played by Indian actors. There are Greek soldiers that are played by Asian actors. And I just feel like, Chris Nolan has the reputation now that his movies are so highly regarded that everybody wants to work with him. And I think he says, we'll find you a place somewhere, whether you're a Greek soldier or not. you know, there's a couple of weird casting in this. The rapper who let all those people die at his concert a couple of years ago, they all got crushed. I can't remember his name. Nope, it's not coming to me. He's in it. he's the bard who kind of starts the movie off, that's telling the story about the fall of Troy and
right
Odysseus is coming up with the Trojan horse and all that kind of shit. So like there's a couple of weird castings in there, but like I've got no problem with, like, you get good actors for the roles. You don't necessarily have to like match them to like ethnicity of, you know, not, it's one of those films. Right. It's one of those films where you would expect them to all be speaking with English accents and right. They're all speaking in American accents.
Of course.
And you know, like it's very reminiscent of like Spartacus, the Ten Commandments, big epics where they didn't care about that shit. Like they were just trying to get actors, you know.
Right.
Fucking Charlton Heston doesn't look like an Egyptian or Jewish or any of that shit. Like,
right.
You know, Michael Douglas didn't look like, you know, what were they, Romans in Spartacus? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Like that shit doesn't bother me. Everybody was up in arms about, Elliot Page being in it. And it was like, who fucking cares? Like Elliot's a good actor. Like, what do I care? So, I mean, it was very good. It's very long though. Like at one point it got to a point in the movie where I was like, oh, we gotta be coming up on the end. We've gotten to a point where I feel like the story is coming to a natural conclusion. Like I've never read the Odyssey, so I don't know, but I happened to move my wrist and my watch kind of lit up and the movie started at 12:30 and it's like a 2 hour and 48 minutes or whatever. And I was like, we're going to be somewhere close to like 3:30 and it was only 2:30. And I was like, oh, we wow. Still have like an hour to go. It's like, holy shit. But yeah, I mean, it's good. I don't know necessarily whether I know there's the cinephiles can come at me if they want, but like I didn't watch it in IMAX. I watched it in a regular theater. I don't know if that made a difference or not. I don't really think I need to see it in IMAX in order to like get the full shit out of it. But,
okay,
you know, I think for a movie like that, for like having to sit there, I would much have preferred being at home to where I could stop it if I need to go to the bathroom or, you know, but I know that that's not, Nolan's view of his movie. So
yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
Well, big stars in this film too.
Yeah.
Robert Pattinson, Tom Holland.
It's full.
Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
I heard Leguizamo was really good.
Yeah. And like that was another one that they were bitching about, was that you have this Hispanic actor playing a Greek character and it's just like, who fucking cares?
Right.
I mean,
Travis Scott was the bard.
Travis Scott. That's who it was. I mean, nobody bitched when Brad Pitt was Achilles in Troy. That's not what Achilles looked like. If Achilles even ever existed.
Well, who has a picture of Achilles?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And I saw something this morning. Somebody was talking about, it was a bunch of clips, of people talking about like, Greek and Roman mythology, where they were talking about the fact that like Alexander the Great was not white. Cleopatra was not white. All of these historical figures were not white. They were brown at the very least. And everybody gets up in arms because it loses the narrative that white people are the dominant, you know, race on the planet.
Race.
And it's just like, right. if you knew what history actually was, your head would explode because it's nothing like what Hollywood puts out there. I mean, I don't care who's what color. Like, they could have gotten a black actor to be Odysseus. That would have been fine. I think Matt Damon does a really good job as Odysseus, but like, didn't need to be him, and the movie would have been fine anyway. So yeah, I mean, it's worth watching. I would say that, especially if you like historical drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Well, I'll check it out once we go to cable. Because I'm not sitting in a movie theater for over 3 hours.
Yeah, it's
just
a lot.
Just not going to do it. Yeah. Did you watch X-Men 97 on Disney Plus?
I have not seen the new season.
Animated. It's very interesting. It's like they go back 3,000 years to the creation of Apocalypse.
Okay.
Wolverine, X-Factor, X-Force all come together in this. A lot of the character history that I had no idea about.
Okay.
But yeah, they're 5 episodes in, and there's another 4. There'll be 9 total.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's as good as season 1?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the animation style still reminds me of like the old Spider-Man series, but yeah. I understand what they're doing.
Okay.
So.
I mean, I really liked season 1.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really care for the fact that they killed off Gambit, but you know.
Right.
I mean, that's their prerogative to tell the story they want to tell, but.
Mm-hmm.
I did appreciate like that it looked like the 97 cartoon, and they
right.
tried to keep as many of the same actors as they could and all that kind of stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worth watching.
Okay.
I also got this weird recommendation from Netflix.
Okay.
And it's like, well, there wasn't really anything on. So I'm like, yeah, what the hell? I'll watch it. So it was a movie made up of 2 episodes of a 1976 Western TV series. It's called The Quest.
Okay.
And it's about 2 brothers who are trying to find their sister who's being held by Indians.
Oh, okay.
And the brothers had been separated during an Indian massacre. One of them goes to San Francisco where he gets educated as a doctor. The other one kind of lives with the Indians until he gets freed. The brothers are Tim Matheson, Otter from Animal House.
Yeah.
And Kurt Russell.
Oh.
And Kurt Russell is bleach blonde in this. He's the one who grew up with the Indians. It was good. It was entertaining. It was very much a, you know, like a Bonanza or Gunsmoke kind of thing. The brothers unite because they're traveling around trying to find their sister, and they come across somebody that Kurt Russell knew when he was a child, and the guy needs help getting his cattle down to a sale. And nobody wants to work for the guy, so they get all of these kind of like a rogues gallery of cattlemen. Eric Estrada is one.
This is on Netflix?
Yep.
And it's called The Quest?
The Quest. The Quest, The Longest Ride. I thought it was Netflix.
I don't see it on Netflix.
Oh, maybe it showed up as a Fire recommendation.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yeah, it was right after Kurt Russell had done his last Disney movie. So he went from, you know, when he was a little kid to he was like a teenager. There was a whole series of movies with him in college. Okay. Right after that, he did this series, and then he did the movie Used Cars and then Escape from New York.
Okay. Wow. I think you watched it on Prime.
Oh, was it Prime? Okay. Yeah. It was probably the only thing I saw worth watching on Prime at the time. Because they're pretty lacking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it was a, fun watch. Nothing too intense, nothing too serious.
Okay.
Good for an escape. The other thing I just started rewatching was Heroes.
Oh, okay.
Because I really liked it when it came out. I thought it was great until they joined the circus in whatever season that was. but I'm only like 5 episodes in.
Yeah.
But it's like, I really like the fact that it's, it's all of these strangers who are somewhat connected. And they all have some kind of different superpower. You know, the cop can hear voices, and the OnlyFans actress has a split personality who kills people, and the cheerleader who they're all trying to save.
Yeah.
But I hadn't seen it in like forever. And I was just like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to watch this again. Cause it was like, what, 20 years ago?
Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
2006.
Wow.
Yeah. We're old.
Yes, we are. Without a doubt.
Yep.
Wow.
But I really like the writing. I like the way they're telling the story. I like all the little twists and turns. It was like really well done.
Nice. I know a lot of people had issues where the first season was like really good. And then like the next, there was a season that like they jumped the shark or something and they were like, yeah, I'm done with this show.
Wasn't there a sideshow or a circus or something they joined?
I don't remember.
Became part of this? Now I don't see it in the wiki.
I don't know if I ever watched on a regular basis.
Okay. I would at least rewatch the first season.
Okay.
Oh yeah, there was a carnival in the last season.
Okay.
And I think the last season is kind of where I'm like, yeah, this isn't really that great anymore.
Well, maybe the rewatch will set your mind in a different position.
We'll see. See the news that they're going to do a new version of the Mickey Mouse Club?
I did see that. Sounds like a money grab.
Well, I wonder if somehow they'll find a way to incorporate. Well, I don't know, because I think the ones who went on to be big from Mickey Mouse Club just don't need the work, you know, like Ryan Gosling, Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
I don't think they would bring back Britney Spears. Maybe they'll bring back The Party.
I mean, Britney Spears has nothing going on. She could make an appearance, but.
Oh, yeah, but she's psycho right now. They don't want to touch that shit.
Yeah, I do. I do think. I don't know. I don't know if we need another Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, the one with Lisa Welchel was kind of the end for me.
Yeah, I mean, and like my kid was going on and on because they're doing a new Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Okay.
That's supposedly heavily done by AI. And I tried, like, she was like, those movies were great when I was a kid. And I said, yeah, but every generation gets their version of Alvin and Chipmunks. Like,
yeah,
we had ours and we were kids. We had a, like, there was a cartoon when I was a kid. You know, that graduated into the movies for, like, my daughter's generation. So, like, this next generation gets their own Alvin and Chipmunks. And I kind of see that happening with the Mickey Mouse Club. Like, maybe it should be generational, but I don't know. It's never going to be the way it was. They're just going to make it a fucking commercial for the theme parks or whatever else.
Oh, of course.
You know, Disney's got in mind to, you know, let's go on this ride. And, you know, they do the roll call from fucking Splash Mountain or whatever the fuck it's called now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I don't want. I don't want that kind of shit. Like, if you want to make it entertaining and, like, you know, the Disney version of Sesame Street where they're, like, teaching kids to count and bullshit like that, fine.
Right.
But it's not. It's going to be, it's going to be them doing, just filler for shit that you can do at Disney. Like the way that the Christmas parade is now.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. Yep. I did try to watch, speaking of new generations of whatever, I watched the first episode of the new Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. There are some really weird choices.
Really?
So it doesn't take place in Walnut Grove. It's basically the Ingalls family is coming out from the east, and it's not. I can't remember where they were in the TV show. Was it Minnesota?
Okay.
Was it Walnut Grove, Minnesota?
Oh, I don't even remember.
But now they're in like Kansas or something. And
okay.
I don't know. I don't know if it's just nostalgia for the original show, but this is like a dark version of a Little House on the Prairie. Like they get warned really early on that like there are wolves all over the place and to keep your kids in the tent because wolves will drag them out. And there's a scene where like, Laura gets surrounded by wolves one night when Charles isn't there for some reason. And like the mom has to like shoot at them and get them to go away. And like the wolves are like CGI and not the best rendering of them, and I was just like, I don't know if I can watch this.
I don't know.
It's weird. It's I don't know.
Wow.
So yeah.
Did you see we had a death on It's a Small World?
No. When did that happen?
Back in April.
Oh.
So it must take, 3 months to get the police records. Had a heart attack, had a pre-existing condition.
No.
Oh, he was transported to the hospital where he later died.
Of course. Because it's never...
You can't imagine the excitement of being on It's a Small World killing somebody. But maybe you could.
Oh, this Wesh.com has... There's like the injury reports from Disney or Disney and Universal. And on April 6th in Disney World, a 41-year-old woman riding Snowstormer struck her head, resulting in a laceration.
What is Snowstormer?
I don't know.
I have no idea what Snowstormer is at Disney. Never heard of it.
Is it Barnstormers? I mean, I know there's a Barnstormer.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
May 3rd at Universal.
That's that crack reporting you get in Florida.
May 3rd, Universal, a 17-year-old girl lost consciousness on Jurassic World Velocicoaster. May 5th at Disney World, a 75-year-old woman fell and hit her head while exiting Space Mountain. Why was a 75-year-old on Space Mountain?
Yes.
May 12th, Disney... A 74-year-old man with a pre-existing condition experienced nausea and vomiting after riding Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. I totally get that. I don't know why the pre-existing condition is mentioned other than covering their ass, but I mean, that is a ride that will make you nauseous. Right. May 17th, Universal. A 54-year-old woman experienced chest pain at Teoa, the Fearless River, whatever that is. May 25th, Universal, a 53-year-old man with a pre-existing condition experienced weakness and shortness of breath at Jurassic World Velocicoaster. See, they should be turning these into commercials. Like, it was so good, it took his breath away. Right. May 26th, Disney World, a 44-year-old man with pre-existing condition experienced back pain while riding Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And June 17th, a 20-year-old woman experienced weakness and lightheadedness at Monsters Unchained. So those are like the injury reports from Disney, along with the person that died on It's a Small World. And we're going to say on It's a Small World.
There's a website.
Because,
there's a new website called www.activecrime.com. And they also have a Twitter site by the same name. And some of it is like, there must be somebody listening to a police band radio because there's like stuff from an hour ago.
Really?
Criminal Mischief near the Disney's All-Star Resorts.
Oh, wow.
Industrial Accent at 11 a.m. this morning at Epcot. Stolen Vehicle, Disney Springs yesterday and not last night at 10:46 p.m.
Wow.
Some people have no lives, none whatsoever. I mean, I don't know if something like this can be monetized. I don't think you can monetize Twitter, can you?
I mean, it depends. Not like this. This kind of shit doesn't get monetized.
Yeah.
And it's weird because there's no, on that website, there are no like ads or anything.
No,
it's just the reports and stuff. So it's weird that maybe they just feel like they need to put out this information.
But yeah, very weird.
I mean, for as many people as go to Disney on a daily basis, The active map that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 incidents seems very low. Like, that seems like a good thing. Like, yeah, there's enough people where there are going to be vehicle crashes and shit like that. But, you know, like criminal mischief. Like,
right.
Come on. There's millions of people that go to Disney, and like one criminal mischief is probably a good ratio. I mean, and it's in an all-star resort. So what? They're fucking, and it also doesn't say like what the criminal mischief is. So if it's like a couple of kids that are stealing towels from the girls in bikinis at the pool, we're going to call the cops. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I have seen my kid for a while was into like watching police body cam footage for some reason. Like she thought it was funny.
Well, you know, I went down that rabbit hole on YouTube watching people getting trespassed from Disney.
Yes. That's the shit she used to watch too. And I I've seen some shit where like cops are rolling in at like 2 o'clock in the morning and people are drunk in the hallway. And it's like, how many people are in that hotel though? Like that's a really good ratio.
Right. So, yeah. Very weird. But I mean, obviously there's an audience.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how long this has been active.
About a year.
Okay.
Maybe less than a year.
Call information shown on WDW active crime is sourced from publicly available law enforcement feeds and records. These are official public records provided by the appropriate agencies. Does not create or modify underlying facts of any call. They check official public sources for updates, standardized timestamps, call types, and location fields for consistency. Stores call snapshots in a database so trends and reports can be generated. Builds charts and summary views for the website and social channels. So it almost feels like this is like a coding project that somebody did. What if we tried to do this? Everybody loves Disney. I mean, for today, it's 9 calls since midnight. And it's the middle of July when people are like hot and irritable. That's not bad. You think there'd be more like people getting into fights and shit? They have a Facebook page where they like scroll the stuff too. They had a trespasser at Disney Springs on the 17th.
Ooh. Oh my God.
They had some criminal mischief at Saratoga Springs. Like a lot of them are like traffic stops and vehicle crashes and obstruction on highway.
Right.
Weird. We should go like do some crime at Disney and see if we show up on the website.
Yeah, sure.
Just a thought. All right. You got anything else for this week?
No.
All right. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Stop eating the lotus.